Okay, we're not having a coffee break. We're going to just continue right through. And our next speaker is Miguel Breckner. And Miguel comes from Uruguay, and Uruguay was the first country to make a commitment to one laptop per child. And I visited recently, and I have to tell you it was very inspiring, partly because the school I visited had painted the green color around the school. And that was kind of touching to see that the green had caught on. And also, the president of Uruguay, President Vasquez, has two legacies he wants to leave behind. And I gather he has 21 months left, or 20 months left in his presidency. And one is that Uruguay be a non-smoking country, which is very interesting. He's an oncologist, so it makes sense. And he actually practices once a week as a doctor. But his second is that he will leave office with every child in Uruguay having a laptop, which is his really very, very, I mean, with that kind of commitment. Miguel runs a technical center, which is part of the government, but is extremely helpful. We work with them, OLPC. There, as I recall, 22 engineers there, plus 50 people rolling out. So when Chuck shows you a slide that says that they're, you know, about 40 or 45 people at OLPC, there are more people in Uruguay working on this than there are at OLPC. And I'm sure when you hear from Peru, you'll hear the same numbers. So Miguel, it's yours.
Nicholas, Chuck, thanks very much for inviting me. It's a great honor for me to be here and to share with you the Uruguayan experience of one laptop per child and teacher. Our program is called CEIBAL, that means Basic Connectivity for Education. I have 20 minutes, so. And I want to tell you about our country, about the project, and about what we have learned and what we're doing a year since we started. Let me tell you some things about my country. We are a small country. We have 3.3 million population, 80% live in urban area, 20 in rural. Our per capita income is $5,800. When you see these figures, this all looks too good. In the 50s, we were called the Switzerland of Latin America. But that changed. We had many crises in the 60s, in the 80s, and in year 2002. In that year, we became a country with 50% of the children living in poverty and 25% of them living in indigency. In 2006, under the leadership and commitment of President Tabaré Vázquez, it was defined a special program for Uruguay, a program that would imply that between 2007 and 2009, all the children and teachers of public school will receive a laptop, first to 6 years in school, ages 6 to 12, with an investment of around 0.2% of our GNP on those 3 years. It's good to tell you now that private schools have asked the government to become part of the plan, so we have 45,000 more children to be incorporated into the plan. This program is based in three pillars: equity, learning, and technology. The combination of the three issues will allow us to give opportunities to develop new tools for learning and education, and to achieve new relationships in a society that is connected between itself. The four I's, ensure, increase, inclusion, and investments, are fundamental in the fulfilling of our objectives. We have to ensure equal access and equal opportunities, and this means investment in human capital and in technology. We have to increase the opportunities for learning and education, and not only for the children, but also for the teachers and their families. If we want to be a better society, we need social inclusion. We need to reduce the gap between the haves and the have-nots. The only way our country can improve it is to have better jobs for the people. And to get this, we need to have the next generation educated and with all the options available to them. Finally, once we get committed to a program like this, it has to be sustainable. The investment estimated after all kids receive the laptops is less than 0.05% of our GNP. Obviously, there are risks to be taken. In our case, the commitment of the President as well as the design implementation of the solution is fundamental for our success. The project depends on the Presidency and has a steering committee that's integrated with all the relevant actors of the society in public areas, the ministers, the organizations, the primary school. Everybody is in that committee. Under this committee, we have two separate committees. One is the Education Committee that is responsible for the training of the teachers, for the educational programs that we're going to incorporate in the laptops, and for the contents of the web portal. Then we have LATU. LATU is the organization I preside. LATU is in charge of all the operations and all the implementation of the project. We have everything that is involved in technology is sitting in LATU. That means connectivity, software development, support, impact measurement. Just as a matter of example, in the software, we are now starting to think how we're going to port Sugar to all the platforms, specifically also to Windows XP, because we need Sugar in Windows running. So we have a department that is centralized for software development. We have a lot to do on applications that are in English that have to be translated to Spanish. Everything is being coordinated with other groups doing things, but all that is centralized in LATU. And last but not least, we have to be in charge of the workers' voluntary work and the parents' participation. Once the program was launched in 2006, we got 200 machines from OLPC, the first B2 machines, and we decided to make a pilot in a city of Cardal. To give you an example, that population are only 3% children with computers, and all of a sudden 100% of the school children had notebooks. As it was expected, the pilot was very successful, and we prepared a tender for laptops, servers, and connectivity. By October 2007, we awarded them, and in November, we started one region to deploy before the holidays. We developed many security features, being one of the most important ones that if the kids are not connected to the internet, the machines are blocked. This was implemented during the holidays because we needed to see what happens with the children, not only in class, but also in summer, in vacation. In March 2007, once the kids returned from vacation, we started deliver after Easter week. We have now delivered 32,500 machines in 5 regions, and we are finishing the 6th region this week. We are delivering 1,300 machines a day, and we have to deploy a total of 220,000 by the end of 2008, another 190,000 by 2009, apart from 1,600 servers and connectivity. Our metrics in connectivity are high, as we have defined that no child has to walk more than 300 meters to get internet. This means a lot of access points and a lot of repeaters. And we cannot beat physics. We only deliver notebooks once the schools have connectivity. This way, we are proud to tell that from the 32,500 machines we've deployed, no one is missing. Everybody knows that if the machine is missing, it has zero value as we block it. I don't want to confuse you very much, but let me give you a brief detail of all the things that are involved in our everyday life. First, we have to define the regions to start. At the beginning, we selected the easiest region, leaving the more complex one, the capital, Montevideo, to the end. Once the region is defined, we have to prepare all the maps and landscape for connectivity. Then we start the teacher training at that region, as well that we deliver the notebooks for those teachers. In parallel, in all the schools of the region, we prepare the schools, electrical and security. We have a special security for the servers, and we install the servers plus the indoor APs and the internet the internet. It can be ADSL or HDSPA or Edge or satellite, but that goes for every school. Then we install the outdoor APs in the major towns, so that we install the outdoor APs in the major towers. We're using public and private towers for reaching connectivity, and then so that we can get our goals of connectivity. We need to have a children list. That's not an easy task. Interact with the parents before they receive the machines, because the parents are responsible for the reception of the machine. And finally, we have to ship the laptops to the schools where the teachers deliver them. After that, we have to deal with warranty and tech support. A key issue for this deployment is to have a very skilled group of young professionals and teachers, and a very important group of volunteers. What Chuck was telling about the US is valid everywhere. If we wouldn't have the number of volunteers that are helping us in this deployment, it would be absolutely impossible to do it. Today, we even have a program for volunteers, because it's the only way you can deliver every day, every school, every teacher. What have we learned in this year? It is very important that before giving the laptops, the teachers are trained. Few hours of simple training lowers resistance and fears. Once the kids receive the machines, they learn very fast. We all know that. And we are very, and they are very supportive and helpful to the teachers and to their family environment. The parents demand to be taught, and this issue is part of the agenda. As the laptops are taken home, kids use it at night, but also do their parents. Sometimes they wait till the kids go to sleep so that they can use it. It is important that all teachers have the opportunity to share their experience with other teachers. Once this is massive, we need to keep up the information and the sharing of the experience. At the beginning, the educational system doesn't want to change the contents of the curricula. After they see the children's reaction, the thoughts start to change. As an example, we are starting to train all the teachers to teach logo in schools in Uruguay. One of our main objectives was that the school regains to be the center of life in town. This is accomplished. Why? Because the best internet is in school. The support people are near school. Families and children go after work and after day and on Saturdays or on days with strike. When we have a teacher strike, the kids go to school and stay outside because they have the best internet. It may be not politically correct, but it works. Even parents are now very helpful in all the school committees and all the support for the school. The incorporation of technology in the children's life and their schools is part of building learning communities. Collaboration is the key issue of transformation in the education system in a country. When the kids use the computer, they help each other, their teachers, their parents, and in a very natural way. This transaction has no cost between children and parents. Sharing knowledge and building together knowledge is a key value. The model changes from competition and power to sharing and constructing. As I told, voluntary work is needed and has to be centralized. At this point, we are having established credit programs with the university so that students in university do voluntary work for Ceibal and they get credits inside the university. We have no textbook to learn about how to deploy massively. Still, we prefer good planning, even admitting that we make many mistakes, than to improvise. I want to share a story with you. In one school, when the kids returned in March from holidays, the first day in class was the teacher asking the children, "What have you learned this summer? Can you teach us all?" That is a new paradigm in education and learning. We can have guidelines of what we plan and what we think it should be, but the children will always surprise us and show us things we never imagined. The discovery by the kids that they take pictures and make short films was amazing. Kids have filmed from the birth of a cow to biographies, everything, something that was not even thought by us or by many of the people inside this project. They learn how to do the things immediately and they share it with their equals and their teachers. The teachers' attitude changes for the best all the time when they see the children's creativity and the empowerment of the project. As this is an equity program, we need to find solutions for all the kids. We need to find solutions for blind people, for blind children, for impaired children. We are working on that. Last but not least, once the children leave school and go to high school, we've decided because of our security procedures, we need to put servers in school. It's cheaper for us to put servers than to control that the laptops are still being used by the kids. So we put servers in schools, and that put us in another problem, is that how we give that now the teachers of high school notebooks, because we will have the kids with notebooks and not the teachers. So we're implementing this year a program for teachers in high school. Some small conclusions. One of the most important things of our project of Ceibal is that the results are shown immediately. We don't have to wait years. We know courage is needed. We know it is needed to do this, but it's the only way we can think of a future for our countries. The involvement of the children and their families is immense. The desire for an opportunity is a very clear aspect of it, and it has to be given to all. This started as a dream by a group of people. Once it starts deploying, a lot of people get involved, hope returns to many, and suddenly becomes a dream to the country as a whole. Let me show you a small video of the way the dream is, and how, as this is a project and a plan under construction, I want to share with you another way of constructing a dream. Yeah, that's it. No. That's the other one.
You are stealing it from me.
No, no. This summarizes, it's a dream work in progress. We are very confident of what we are doing. We know we will succeed with Ceibal. We'll be a milestone for the change of our country and for our and all your future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's a story you didn't tell. And when I visited you recently, one of the teachers apparently had heard that the laptops were coming to the school. And that teacher, who had been teaching for 30 years, went to the neighboring village where the Social Security Department was headquartered and asked if she could retire early. But of course, it took some mechanics to do that, and they said, come back in a week or two. And in between, the laptops arrived. And after the laptops were there for about 2 weeks with the kids and all of that, she went back to the Social Security office and said, can I retire late? Isn't that correct? That's pretty good. I thought that was terrific.